How many of you have heard of Rohatsu Sesshin? Well, this, throughout the ages, has been the classic retreat. Sesshin is retreat. And it lasts 8 days, and that's from December 1st to December 8th. And it was at the Rohatsu Sesshin that Buddha had his enlightenment experience. And this enlightenment experience took place on the eighth day when he looked up at the morning star, which is the planet that we call Venus. And the brightness of this planet was seen by Buddha from the depths and the stillness that was created through these 8 days of Rohatsu Sesshin. And there were 8 days, long days, of intense zazen. Zazen is Zen meditation. Za means to sit. So it's to sit Zen. So in this moment, when he looked up in the sky and saw Venus, he realized this. He realized the true nature of things as the result of the practice of zazen. And when he had this experience, he is said to have cried out, this is a quote, "That's it. That's it. That's me. That's me shining so brilliantly." Now, this statement is many times confused. It sounds very self-centered. That's it. That's me. But the me that he uses is not referring to the small ego self. It's talking about everything is me. That is me. Everything. And that's an expression of this universal interrelationship of all things. That's me. That's you. That's every one of us. And it was out of this experience that he had that all the subsequent teachings that he gave arose out of this experience. And from, again, within this state of mind, he also said, how wondrous, all beings are endowed with this pure nature. What a wondrous, astonishing thing has been realized. All the 10,000 things, and all the flowers, all the trees, and all the rocks, all things everywhere are shining brilliantly. What an amazing thing. It is the same landscape, but how brilliantly it is illuminated. What freshness in everything, right? That experience, that opening, everything becomes fresh. It's received without any preconception. It's received just as it is. So you're seeing it with a fresh eye, experiencing it with a fresh eye. So this wisdom that came out of the Buddha's experience is the heart of Zen. Right? This experience, this insight is the heart of our practice. And I've said this before, but it's not something we go after to attain. It is already within us, and it has to be revealed. And that's part of what happens out of the practice of zazen. We reveal our true nature, something that has been present all along, but we just didn't realize it. So the Buddha's realization is possible for each one of us. And again, that's the power of zazen. It makes it possible. Each time we take up this posture, we are preparing ourselves to awaken to our true self. And as Dogen said, the study of the self is to forget the self, and to forget the self is to be enlightened by the 10,000 things. You know, it's just boom, like that, right? Venus, and it all opens up. It all becomes clear. And it's really beyond words. It's an experience. And then later, because of the way we function, we try to describe what that experience was like and write about it. And there's tons of books about it. But the heart of this is that comes out of the experience of sitting. So if we see zazen from this perspective, we realize that this is a very sacred activity. And so we should assume the posture with great care and attention. So zazen, there are three elements in zazen. the body, the breath, and the mind. And in order for Zazen to be grounded, to function at its best, these three elements have to be harmonized. This body that we all move around in is the container for the practice of Zazen. And the breathing is what we eventually, as we practice, pay attention. But the position, the way we take up and establish this container, affects the breathing. And the breathing, if it's natural, it's a natural in and out flow of the breath, relaxes our body, opens us up, and allows our mind to become still. Right? It's not so agitated by thinking if we're just with the breath, in and out, in and out. Right? But no words in and out. Just letting that happen naturally in this container, in this body. And slowly the mind becomes still and it sort of sets us up for that bam. Right? So these three things work together. So everybody follow along with me, right? Just do this. Even if you've been sitting for 20 years, I find that there's always an opportunity for a wake-up call. My wife Cindy has practiced yoga for 20 years, and if she happens by when I'm sitting, she'll always say, pull back your shoulders. And I have a tendency to do this. So, and if you bring back your shoulders, yes, shoulder blades. So we're sitting like this, right? The shoulders are back. And in doing this, right, if you think, if you see me sitting like this, right, imagine this, the lungs, you know, it is not a lot of space to sit, but if you sit back, just try it, physically try it, it sort of opens up the chest and it allows the breath, you can just feel it, you know, actually deliberately sit like this and just watch your breath, feel how constricted, I mean, it really feels like it's a balloon that's squeezing on it. But as soon as you sit back and allow your shoulders to go back and then drop, you can feel how much more free it is to breathe. Now, everybody who started out in this practice has heard this, but again, I think it's important to repeat. This sitting is not like a drill sergeant is standing next to you. It's erect, but it's relaxed. It's not tight. You have to let go of that tightness. And one of the ways is the interaction again between the body and the breath. One of the ways to let go of that tightness is if we allow our breath to just come in and out, right? And then imagine the breath comes in, and as the breath goes out, just imagine that that's energy there, right? That's energy that's holding this. So you just allow the breath to take out all that constriction, all that tightness. Right? Which is probably created by the mind. So this all works together. So if we allow that tension to be released, the mind is going to start to become more still. You know, and those thoughts that are producing this tension, you know, oh my God, am I doing this right? And what's the teacher going to say? And, you know, all that stuff, right? Or we're bringing tension from our daily lives. So this is an opportunity to take up a position, allow the breath to just do its thing, and before we go into meditation, just allow the breath to help us relieve ourselves of all the tension that's in our body. Now, the other thing about breath is that it's really allowing our body to breathe, right? We're not controlling the breath. We're not restricting the breath. We're not trying to make it do a particular thing. We are merely observers of the body breathing. And so it's not me breathing in and out. It's the body breathing. So once you have taken up this position and have become grounded in it, and it's stable, it feels stable, right? We make sure that our mouth is closed and that we are breathing through our nose. Now, if you have some kind of nasal restriction, of course, you're going to have to breathe out of your mouth. But for most people, this is the prescription. So breathe in and out of your nose. And we press our tongue lightly against the roof of our mouth. And this actually reduces the need to have to salivate or to swallow. And our eyes should be lowered, right? Now, if we leave our eyes open, anything that's in the room can be a source of distraction, which then activates the mind. So we say we lower our eyes 7/8, and we pick out a spot about 2 or 3 feet away, and that's where our eyes focus on. But your eyes are shut 7/8 of the way. And so by doing this, you're not going to get sleepy, or you shouldn't get sleepy, or I guess we sometimes still get sleepy, but the objective is to not get sleepy. If we close our eyes completely, it's almost like going to sleep. So we leave our eyes somewhat open, but closed enough so that we're not distracted. This practice also reduces the likelihood of blinking. You leave your eyes open more. There's sort of a distraction, and it causes us to blink. And so the chin should be tucked in a bit, right? But not like this. Just gently down, maybe a half an inch or so. And our nose should be centered. If you drew a line from your nose down through your navel, that's how your nose should be centered. And again, the body should not be leaning forward or backward. It should be straight up and down. And then the next thing we do is we bring our attention to our hands. And we sit with what's called the cosmic mudra. The hand that goes down, you know, people are left-handed and right-handed. The hand that goes down, the bottom hand, is the dominant hand. And then the other hand rests on top of it so that if you look at your knuckles, they're lined up. And it rests either on your thighs or on your heels, depending upon what position you sit in. And then you gently put your thumbs together like this. So we're sitting like this. Now, as soon as I say that, I'm a hypocrite. Because after 30 years of sitting like this, for some reason at a session, I found myself wanting to sit like this. So I just started doing that. You know, just holding my hands like this right. In my lap, right, instead of like this. But I would encourage everybody to sit for at least a year like this before you decide to do something different. Now, the words ki in Japanese and chi in Chinese mean power. And this is power that's derived from breath. So mind and breath become one reality. So if your mind is agitated, your breath will become agitated. And when your mind is at rest, your breath will become deep, easy, and effortless. And so the practice really, in one form or another, is grounded in breathing. And the attention to the breath is not up in the chest, not watching the breath breathe up here. But about 2 inches below the navel, this area here is called the hara. And that's sort of the center of the body's energy. And so that's where you feel the breath come in and out, right? In and out, in and out. Not controlling, not me breathing, just breath in and out. Now, there's a variety of ways that we learned how to begin this. In the tradition that I came through, students start out by counting their breath. And so we start out, and the counting helps stay attached to the breath. And then eventually, as you do this long enough, you don't need the help of the counting. But it's very important to learn how to stay connected to the breath, so the counting is a very convenient way to do that. So I'm going to do this out loud, but this would be done silently. So we count to 10, right? 1, 2. Breath comes in, 1, breath goes out, 2, breath in, 3, breath out, 4, and we count to 10. Now, any of you who have practiced this will realize that it takes quite a while before you get to 10, right? Because the mind is used to being agitated, used to being a distraction. So we do this practice, as I said, to let the mind become more and more still. So when we're doing this breathing exercise, it's not staccato, it's not 1, 2, 3, 4, right? It's sort of like this. Let me just find my breath. Okay, so the breath comes in. Breath goes out. And that too is in my belly down here. It's in my heart. It's not up here. So that number is riding the breath in and out. That's why I'm demonstrating it out loud. It's not just simply breath comes in, one. Breath goes out, two. The entire in-breath is one, and the entire out-breath is two. So after we learn to do all this, and eventually we go from in and out, we go to the whole breath is one, the whole breath is two, the same way. Right, so the whole breath. And then eventually we just watch the breath. That's through the mind's eye. Right? We just feel the body breathe in and out, in and out. In the Soto tradition, there's two basic traditions in Zen, the Soto tradition and the Rinzai tradition. And this is all language. The Soto model, the Soto tradition, is called the gradual school. And the Rinzai tradition is called the instant school. So, what does that mean? It's really talking about the same thing, but in different forms, right? The Soto school, we practice shikantaza. That's just sitting with breath, just sitting with breath. And that sitting with breath calms the mind, calms the mind. The instant school requires sitting with a koan. And usually in our tradition, the entry koan is, does a dog have Buddha nature? Now we all know that everything, as I've said earlier, everything has Buddha nature. So, what does this mean? Does a dog have Buddha nature? So, that's what you sit with. Where does that lead? You know the conventional way does not work, right? The dog has Buddha nature, it doesn't matter, we all know that, that's not the point. It's something beyond that. And these entry koans are sort of designed or created to confront the habitual way that the mind functions and discover a different way. They're not in opposition, they're just different, a different way to relate to reality. And so the name for that is a koan. And no one is better than the other. It has to do with temperament, the temperament of the student. But it's leading in the same direction. So I'm going to end with a verse. The cup fell to the ground, and the sound was perfectly clear. Emptiness was smashed to pieces, and the mad mind abruptly came to a halt. Thank you.